In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Yesterday was the 12th and final day of Christmas. The 12 drummers drumming and all that. It was the end of the season of Christmas, which means today begins the new season, and it begins with the feast of the Epiphany of our Lord. Epiphany at its root means into the light. It means appearing or manifestation. When someone has an epiphany, it usually means they realize something or they finally get it. In the realm of religion and things spiritual, it refers to the manifestation of a God appearing in human form, or in some cases that of an animal or some other concrete object. Epiphany is celebrated as the visit of the Magi in Western churches. Astrologers from the East who came to worship Jesus and present their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. For that reason, Epiphany is referred to as the Gentile Christmas, as the Magi were the first Gentile worshipers of the Christ. For his first two or so years out of the womb, the first worshipers were Israelites and those sent from heaven, angels in the fields that night, shepherds from Bethlehem, Simeon and Anna in the temple, perhaps some others whom the shepherds told. The Magi, however, were from Babylon, modern-day Iraq and Iran. The only connection to anything Israelite they may have had would have been their people's capture and captivity of David's descendants some 590 or so years earlier. They could have even been disciples of another Magi mentioned in the scriptures, Daniel, who was part of that captivity. Because of that, they may have had access to the Israelite scriptures. Still, the main focus of their work would have been the starry skies. And these men still came to worship the Christ child and acknowledge him as king and God. However, these Magi are not the first Gentiles mentioned in today's gospel lesson. It is not well known among Christians today that Herod was also a Gentile. Herod the Great was actually an Idumean, or Edomite. His roots go back to Esau, the eldest son of Isaac, who forsook his birthright. He was a crafty yet paranoid ruler, a politician. He was appointed to the throne by Caesar after he had befriended Caesar, sweet-talked his way into Caesar's good graces. He also killed his own wives and sons, nephews, and even uncles for fear of his throne. There was an old saying, it was safer to be one of Herod's dogs than one of his sons. He too had access to the Israelite scriptures. I can't think of a way that he could have avoided them, being king of the Jews, even if a Gentile puppet king placed by Rome. However, he went so far as to surround himself with experts in the law, and he calls the chief priests and scribes to inquire of the birthplace of the Christ after the Magi had entered and asked as well. They all get their answer. In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel. So Herod sends the Magi on their way with the invitation to return and let him know where the child was so he could go and worship too. They go to Bethlehem, following the star, and find the house where the family was staying. They present their gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and worship the Christ. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Herod is incensed, as we heard a week and a half ago, and goes on a murderous rampage in an attempt to save his grip on the throne from a two-year-old boy. A two-year-old boy. In any event, Merry Gentile Christmas. I know that's a hard thing to take after hearing about Herod's paranoia, but it is said with good reason. Matthew is once again pointing out that here is an event that fulfills Old Testament prophecy, though not in so many words. For in the visit of the Magi is fulfilled what was said by the prophet Isaiah, as we heard just a little while ago. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. All those from Sheba shall come, they shall bring gold and incense, and they shall proclaim the praises of the Lord. This is why the Magi, though not being kings, are often depicted as kings. Nevertheless, what Isaiah spoke is fulfilled as these Gentile advisors to Gentile kings visit the two-year-old Lord of Lords and King of Kings, bringing their gold and incense. And in this, Matthew also teaches us this lesson. God is the God of Jew and Gentile alike. No one country or ethnic group or however else you want to group people has a hold on God as their God alone. God is the God of the whole world, as Isaiah also writes, I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles, that you shall be my salvation to the ends of the earth. Wise men still seek him, the pithy Hallmark saying goes. It usually rears its ugly head around this time, or perhaps around 13 days ago. How far from the truth that is. The truth of the matter is that no one seeks him, no matter how wise or foolish they are. And while it can certainly appear that these wise men from the east sought him, and truly they did as they entered Jerusalem and went to the palace, where else would you go to seek a king? Recall that they were led out of the east and out of Jerusalem by a star. These star-gazing wise men were led to the house in Bethlehem by a star placed in the sky when the child was born. And notice how Matthew tells us that once they were instructed that the child was not in Jerusalem, the star appeared once again before them. And when they saw this star, they rejoiced. He who placed the stars in the sky placed one that invited these stargazers from the east to come and worship him, and then made it appear again to get these wise men on the right track. Herod had wise men too. They saw the signs, they had the scriptures, yet not one of them sought the child. These all remained in Jerusalem, at least until Herod discovered that he had been duped. Then he sought the child, if you can call killing every boy in Bethlehem two or younger, seeking. Matthew is here teaching what Luther taught in the third article. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. In order to come to the Lord, we must be invited, like the Magi, led, like the Magi, and not reject, like the Magi. By our own reason or strength, we would be like Herod and his wise men. Our own reason and strength serve only ourselves. We would seek Jesus only to suit our needs. Or we would seek a Jesus to suit our own needs. Are we not guilty of these already, though? How much like Herod we are. We who are called by God's name. Herod sought the child to have him exterminated and clear the threat to his illegitimate hold on the throne in Jerusalem. Today we seek God only when we feel we have a need. See all those who filled a church after September 11, 2001. See all those who are seeking a church that caters to their felt needs. see yourself when confronted with a situation beyond your control as compared to one you think is within your control. Herod sought to get rid of the child because he didn't fulfill Herod's desire for a long reign. How easy it is for us to dispose of God when we feel he doesn't do for us what we think we need, when he doesn't give us what we want. See all of those who no longer fill the churches but sat in one after September 11, 2001. See all those who, when confronted with the true word of God, go off looking for something else. See yourself when God doesn't answer your prayer in the manner you like. No, apart from God, the greatest thing we seek is affirmation. God certainly provides affirmation, but it's not the kind we like to hear. You are a sinner and deserve death for your sin. It is God's word, so it is truth. But it is truth, affirmation, that we don't want to hear. Of course, he has more to say, but it is so difficult to get past that first part that ears are often shut to the second part, that it becomes even more offensive. But I have grace in my Son, who died in your place to give you forgiveness, life, and salvation. Sadly, this means there are many people who are more Herod-like than already mentioned. That is to say, while everyone has been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, not all are saved. There are those who refuse the grace of God, and God will not force his grace and mercy on anyone. He simply tells us of our sins and freely gives us forgiveness in his Son. But there are those who hear this and simply say, no thanks. Or that's not me. Or I can do it on my own. I don't need God. The Magi were led to the house by a star, whereupon they entered and bowed down and worshipped the two-year-old creator and redeemer of the world, presenting him their gifts. Being in the presence of the Word of God is a life changer when it doesn't fall on deaf ears and a hard heart. These Magi become the first recorded Gentile worshippers of the true God who was enfleshed. Even at 2 years old, the Word of God incarnate is enlightening those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. Sure, these wise men brought their gifts, but they received a greater gift. Luther continued, "But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gift, sanctified and kept me in the true faith." Yes, the Word of God has an effect on you who are now listening to it. You are here by the Spirit's guiding. You have been called by the gospel, and through it, by the Spirit, you are sanctified and kept in the true faith. You are set apart and redeemed. You are given remission for your sins, not the least of which is seeking Jesus only in times of felt needs and abandoning him when those felt needs aren't met. You receive this because he is here to meet the greatest of needs and give you his gifts. You are forgiven for all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.